Hello and welcome to another episode of Meta Sidekicks. My name is Liv and this is the podcast where we talk about all things metaphysical, spiritual, paranormal, and in between. Today we're going to be talking about the spring equinox because it's February, it's cold, and I'm sad. So why not talk about spring and the beautiful, lovely weather that is on its way? Before we begin, if you're new to this podcast, welcome! I'm glad you're here. As I've already mentioned, my name is Liv, and I am a psychic medium and your sidekick to all things metaphysical. Because, you know, I may talk to dead people, but I'm not an expert on all things metaphysical, spiritual, and paranormal. I just am someone that experiences it on the regular and is interested in it nonetheless. So here I am to help you explore this side and the next to the best of my abilities. Now, I've been doing life updates in the podcasts at the very beginning before we really get into the theme, the topic of this Sunday's podcast. But today's podcast is kind of inspired by something that has been on my mind. We've been doing past podcasts on Hecate, right? And we also covered Persephone because Hecate is mentioned in the Homeric Hymn to Demeter, which is the abduction of Persephone by Hades, right? Well, that got me into the idea of doing spring and the spring equinox because Persephone, if you go back to podcast episode 194, is the reason for this changing of the seasons. And I, like I'm sure so many others, are afflicted with the sad, the seasonal affective disorder. The sun is not as close to the earth as it is during the summertime, and it causes the sadness. So in lieu of a longer life update, this podcast is brought to you by past podcasts with mentions of Hecate and Persephone and the idea of spring and that winter sucks. winter has its own place, but after a while, there's nothing that we can do to really fight the biological evolutionary things that winter does to a human being. So I was writing quotes on our little board that we have and in my house as a family, right? Just me, my husband, and our son. And my husband loves the little quotes that I write on the family board with my agenda for like private medium readings that I have in the evenings because he always forgets. He's like, when do you have readings? I'm like, every single day. It's the same time frame that I have readings. But he asks me nonetheless to put my schedule on the board so that he can look at it every day along with little quotes. And since I was feeling a little sad about winter and romanticizing the idea of spring in the household, like opening the windows and the doors and going outside a little bit and it's cold, but you have that spring warm wind just floating through the air. Anyways, I put a quote on the board in our house that said, "No winter lasts forever and no spring skips its turn," which is a quote by a person called Hal Borland, who I'm not entirely sure who they are, but I like their quote nonetheless. So that's what we're going to be talking about today is spring. And the other little caveat of like the thing that I've been thinking about in lieu of a life update, just to share with you as more of a introduction to this Sunday's podcast is we have the new year, right? Which is based on the Gregorian calendar. However you want to say that. Gregorian. Anyways, you know what I'm talking about. New year, new me. That whole thing that us in the United States follows of the calendar for the new year. Dude, it's sapping my will to live. That whole idea. I was listening to a different podcast and the lovely people that host it, it's called the Pocket Coven Podcast. If you haven't heard of it, you should go look up and listen to that podcast. It's lovely. I think it's Callie and Amber. Callie and Amber are the like co-hosts of the show. And they were talking about how in other traditions and or like more pagan things, because they're witchy, they say that springtime should actually be the whole beginning of the new year, like new year, new me. Because winter, not only like in more pagan and traditional old cultural ways, is seen as like a time for rest and reflection and not doing anything. Spring as seen as a time of rebirth and growth and new things. So they're like, it doesn't make sense that we as people, even like evolutionarily speaking, as human beings, as living organisms, that we have this idea that the new year should start in the dead of winter when everything sort of stinks and our bodies are like, it's cold outside. So anyways, I have been thinking that I personally also would like to adopt the idea of, instead of New Year, New Me in January, I would rather have New Year, New Me in the springtime. And, you know, it depends on where you live when you actually start to feel the effects of spring. But where I live, it's cold. It's cold as crap, my guys. And that spring comes a little bit later than, you know, anywhere else I feel like in the world. Sans like Antarctica. But anyways, that's why we're going to be talking about spring today. I'm going to be covering just a couple different areas, like a very, I think it's a very well laid out area of around the world and how spring is seen in different cultures. And hopefully now, since it's February, by the time it's March, which the spring equinox is in March for everyone in the world, according to the people, unless you live in the southern hemisphere of the world, then the spring equinox is actually your autumn equinox. So what's up, Australia? How do you doing? we'll do the autumn equinox later, but you know, you guys are just leaving summer and going into fall in the next couple month. But up here in the northern hemisphere, we're going to be going into spring. But the ways that spring is celebrated all around the world are a little bit different and also a little bit the same. And I'm hoping that giving this podcast to you in February will give you the time to prepare the things that you need in order to embrace spring as it springs forward. Exactly. So just to give you some time to, I don't know, some of these I'm excited and kind of want to do myself with my own family because, you know, I'm here and I'm trying to make my son's childhood fun. So I feel like some of these could be really fun for you to adopt nonetheless, because on this podcast, we embrace all cultures and religions because that is what spirituality, in my opinion, is. So without further ado, let's get into what the spring equinox is and some of the celebrations from all around the world. All right, so for this year specifically, 2025, the spring equinox, also known as the vernal equinox, is going to be on Thursday, March 20th. And the equinox specifically in the northern hemisphere marks the end of winter, and there's going to be more daylight than there is nighttime, and I'm so excited about it. So due to the tilt or the axis our Earth sits on, the sun's rays reach our planet unequally. So during the equinox, Earth's axis and its orbit line up just so that both hemispheres get an equal amount of light. And then, you know, as the world continues to turn during this time, Australia and the rest of the southern hemisphere will see less of the light, but we will see more. And this event marks the beginning of the springtime in the northern hemisphere and then such the autumn time in the southern hemisphere. Now, the spring equinox or the vernal equinox is celebrated all around the world, often involving music, dancing, and lots of color of various degrees and arrays, which I think is just a very beautiful thing in and of itself. But specifically, when I was doing my notes for this podcast, I've been thinking that I should do a, like, what did we call it in the past? Metaphysical shower thoughts type of thing, or paranormal stories of a medium, because we've done that as well. But, you know, as I do more professional readings every day, it's become less paranormal to me and more so just normal, if that makes any sense. So it's not necessarily metaphysical shower thoughts, and I wouldn't really dub these stories as like paranormal stories of a medium anymore, unless I'm doing like ghost investigations or like more like outward things. But normal readings with people in the evenings over Zoom for private psychic medium readings is just like part of every day now. And while I was doing the research for today's topic, I was thinking about how I wanted to just share a little story instead. if something pops into my head, instead of making a whole podcast on it, I can just share little anecdotal things here and there. And one of those things is a lovely soul named Michael. So last week I was talking to a lovely woman and her brother who passed away somewhat recently, I believe, came through, and his name is Michael. And he was talking to me about how he still wanted, instead of like, you know how people have memorials where they, like memorial days, not memorials themselves, but like instead of celebrating someone's birthday, when someone dies, they'll celebrate like the day that they died, which is cool. But I just thought it was really interesting how Michael was telling me about how his birthday was in the spring. And for me to understand that his birthday was in the spring, he kept showing me everything that was colors of yellow, right? And he said specifically, instead of remembering him on the day that he died as a celebration, he specifically requested to the person that I was talking to, my lovely client, that he wanted his birthday to still be celebrated even though he was passed, which I just thought was really lovely. And he specified further that it was just another day to have cake and that celebrations, you know, what I took from that was that celebrations don't have to be this big giant thing all the time, but life itself is just full of perpetual celebrations. And I don't know. I just wanted to talk about Michael because I really enjoyed what his soul had to share and the way that he shared it as well. And since we're talking about the spring equinox and his birthday is in the spring, this is just like a little tribute to Michael. Anyways, traditionally, the spring equinox is observed as a time of rebirth and renewal. And because of this, many cultures have celebrated the March equinox as the first day of the new year. Hence what I was talking about. I didn't even know that when I was listening to the Pocket Coven podcast. Amber and Callie were just talking about how, like, in pagan things, yada, 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 they see spring as the new year. And I was like, I'm getting on that boat. I'm going to continue eating cookies and resting and reflecting until this freaking snow melts and I can see crocus and daffodils. And then I'm going to get my butt into gear and feel like, you know, excited to do things of change. But until then, I'm sitting with my slippers on in front of my tiny little heater with my baby and we're watching Wallace and Gromit and there's nothing else to it. So I love this idea and I'm going to adapt it personally. Now, just a little fun fact, because I really love to understand where words come from, because then it allows me to understand them in further contextual settings. But the word equinox comes from the Latin derivation of aquus, which means equal, and nox, which means night. Hence, going back to, you know, the equinox is when the Earth's axis and its orbit with the sun line up so that both hemispheres, northern and southern, get equal amounts of sunlight.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
All right, so we're going to go through a trip around the world, just small potatoes scratching the surface. So if any of you listening at home have a specific tradition for the celebration of the spring equinox that I did not mention or that is unique to your own culture, religion, spiritual practices, etc., please let me know and I can cover them in a future podcast. You can let me know what those traditions or celebrations are in the comments below if you're listening on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube channel or in any of the comment sections on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. But I would love to do more in-depth things if there's specific traditions that you guys would rather have me cover. But without further ado, these are the ones from around the world. Starting with Japan, there is the Shunbun Nohai, and I'm sorry if I say that incorrectly because I know that Chinese and Japanese are like tonal languages, so if I put the emphasis on the wrong part of the word, I apologize. However, in Japan, Shunbun Nohai is a public holiday, specifically where they honor the spirits and ancestors by visiting family burial sites, cleaning grave sites, and decorating them with flowers and leaving offerings. One of the offerings that are usually left at the grave sites of past family members is something called a botamochi, which is a rice ball covered in soybean paste, which is like a treat, I guess. And it's believed that specifically, botamochi are a way for souls in the afterlife to get like sustenance. Like it's one thing that they can actually eat, which I thought was interesting. So Shunbun Nohai celebrates the seasonal element of renewal with the beginning of Sakura as well, which is the cherry blossom season. And my husband wants to go to Japan so bad because he wants to be one of the tallest people there. Which is, I just think that's funny because he is a tall person. So he's like, I just want to be really, really tall. He also wants to go to the Naruto theme park. But I would love to go to Japan to see the cherry blossoms. And I also want to see all of the little temples. And I know specifically the religion name is escaping me right now. But they have, it's like a Shinto, the Shinto religion. I want to visit all of the Shinto temples or as many of them as I possibly can because I just love it. It makes me, the Shinto religion is one of my favorites. I covered it in college for my world history class and it was a joy to research and write about. Anyways, moving on to India and Nepal. There they have the celebration of Holi. Or if I'm saying that wrong, maybe holy. So the date differs on this celebration, but it's always close to the spring equinox nonetheless. Now, holi is a party that lasts 2 days. This is where Hindus take to the streets and throw brilliantly colored powder and water all over each other to celebrate fertility and love. And there's music and dancing everywhere. And in some places, wood and dung paddies are burned to symbolize the triumph of good over evil. Now, when I was looking at pictures of this and doing just a little more anecdotal research for it, I could only think of this thing. Mind you, I've never done any 5K or running except for in high school. No, in middle school, I did cross country, but that's only because I had to do a sport that my brother did too, because he's the one that drove the car. But I hate running. You'll never see me running. And if I am running, it's only because you should probably be running too. But I know about like things called the color run. And I was like, oh, is this just like the color run? Because I'm sure many of you listening have heard of the color run as well. And if not, you can just do a quick googly search like I did. But the color run actually is a popular 5K worldwide run based off of this celebration specifically. So I thought it was interesting that while I was reading this, that's what popped into my head. And then when I looked it up, it's specifically related to the celebration anyways. So if you want to try and do something that is like celebrating holi for this year's spring equinox and you love running, see if there's a color run like around you, because that would be the closest thing aside from flying to India or Nepal during the celebration that you could possibly do for it. Anyways, oh, that's the other thing. When I was in college, my friend group and I that we had, we called ourselves the Brunchers, which I thought was very funny. But there was one day when it wasn't in March, unfortunately, it was in May, because I went back on my photos and looked to see when they were stamped, because I was like, I remember when the Brunchers, when we had this, we had a tie-dye water gun fight where we all wore white clothes and went to a park nearby and just absolutely sprayed each other down with tie-dye in our water guns. And my skin was blue for like weeks, but that's okay. And I was like, oh, maybe we did this in March, because I remember freezing my absolute tuchus off outside with my friends in college. This was like freshman year of college, I think, having this crazy, silly water gun fight. But it was in May, not March. But anyways, that's just anecdotal things about me. All right, now we're moving on over to Thailand. So in Thailand, they have the celebration called Songkran. So this takes place just after the spring equinox. It lasts 3 days, and it's a water festival marking the Thai New Year. Again, celebrating the New Year during the spring when it should be celebrated. But I digress. So this is a huge water fight that takes place in the streets with music. So the water symbolizes washing away bad luck from last year. And there's other traditions that are a little less intense, if you will, such as sprinkling water on Buddha statues at temples to represent purification and good fortune. Or you can pour water into the hands of elderly to show respect during this time, which I also think is very sweet. So if you're not into giant, huge water fights, I mean, like, I guess people travel from all over the world to take part in this celebration in Thailand. And they have like buckets, hoses, water guns, anything that you could possibly think of to try and just soak one another in the streets. And, you know, I think that's kind of fun. That's also like what we did in college. But anyways, moving on to Central Asia. So in Central Asia, the Middle East, the Caucasus and the Balkans, there is the celebration called Nowruz. So this specifically translates literally to mean new day, and it's rooted in the beliefs of the religious of Zoroastrianism. So Zoroastrianism is a monotheistic religion that originated in ancient Persia, and it was the state religion until the 7th century when Persia was conquered by Muslims. This celebration specifically is a two-week celebration full of family gatherings, poetry, music, traditional sports being played, and lots of food and drink. It celebrates spring as a time of rebirth and renewal and includes intense spring cleaning and some prepare fire and water rituals. One of these rituals includes jumping over bonfires where the flames are said to represent the purge of bad experiences from the person accumulated from the year before. Another part of the Nowruz tradition for the spring equinox is creating the Hafsin table. So this is a spread of 7 items that represents renewal in springtime, with the centerpiece called the sabzeh, and this is a sprouting plant to symbolize rebirth. So the Hafsin table, I don't necessarily want to say it's like a altar or offering table, because again, this is a different culture, but just for everyone that's listening from the spiritual community, it's similar to, but maybe not exactly the same. Specifically, Hafsin translates to, quote, the 7 S's. So it's an arrangement of 7 items that all begin with the letter S in Farsi, which is the Persian language. It's customary to set up a sofreh Hafsin a few days prior to the new year, and this table will remain for 13 days after the new year itself as well. I really like the part where they say that part of this celebration is like intense spring cleaning, because I think that's just, I feel like that's like a worldwide thing. I remember reading somewhere on the internet, I forget what I was researching or something like that, but all of the buildings that are in Greece, you know how you've seen the buildings on the islands and they're all white, like starkly white? I don't know if this is something for the spring equinox. Maybe I should have researched that. If you guys know, let me know in the comments below for sure. But I just remember that a part of one of their like spring, I don't know, I'm not going to say spring cleaning, but it was like religious, spiritual, cultural things that they do for the year is putting new lime on all of their buildings, which creates that really bright, stark white color that you guys see. And I don't know, that's what it makes me think of when they're like intense spring cleaning, just put lime on everything, kill all of the germs and the bacteria, make it literally sparkle white and look as clean as possible. And then that makes me think about like hospitals and things, since everything in the hospital is like stark white and anything like that. But I know that even in February, I've been making a mental checklist of all the spring cleaning things that I want to do this year. Like for example, my son completely knocked over a giant thing of milk on the counter the other day. Don't ask me how. And it went not on just the floor, but in between the oven and the countertop. And I cannot move the oven on my own. I don't think so, at least, without the help of my husband. And I'm like, that is a future Olivia problem. But all I can think about is cleaning the milk from in between the stove and the countertop in the springtime. It's one of the things that is living rent-free in my mind all the time. It might even happen before spring. We'll see. But spring cleaning, nonetheless, is one of my favorite things. I'm excited. I have a new linen line to hang clothes on and things. And I was watching a video of a woman that says in the summertime and the springtime, taking your comforter and your blankets and laying them out in the sun. And she had like this really cool, like, I mean, it's not even cool. It's just like this wooden thing that she put her comforter and her blankets on outside and in her backyard. And I was like, ooh, I want to do that. I want to go to bed with comforters that smell like the sun and the outside. But anyways, I'm getting excited. Moving on. Next, we have England. And in England, they celebrate the equinox with a sunrise at Stonehenge. So the pagans and the druids' spring equinox, they specifically call Ostara. So in the UK, Stonehenge is a well-known place to gather and celebrate Ostara. People gather from all over to watch the sunrise over the 5,000-year-old monument. Now, when I was researching this, it made me think about one of my new friends that I made this year. She lives in Florida, and she was telling me that for the new year herself, she and her family went down to the beach and watched the sunrise. So that was in January, but she lives in Florida. So not only am I jealous and envious of her and her tropical-ish place that she lives. But I don't know. It made me think about my friend. I think celebrating the spring equinox with a sunrise would be fabulous. Moving on to Mexico. In Mexico, they have El Castillo. And let me see if I can pronounce this. I'm terrible with Spanish. It's not my jive. I think it's Teotihuacan. I really hope I said that right. Teotihuacan. I think that's right. At the Temple of Culcan in the Yucatan, people gather during the late afternoon to watch the sunset on the day of the equinox, where when the sun is setting, according to the people that see this, the light causes the illusion of a snake to be seen moving down the northern staircase. And this is symbolized or seen as a symbol of an ancient god returning to earth that's said to bring hope for spring. Now, at Teotihuacan, pilgrims with red and white scarves hold out their hands to worship the sun and welcome its return. There's lots of music and dancing and incense burning and colorful hot air balloon rides fill the air. Now, for the people that are ignorant, like me, and I say ignorant not in like a rude term, but just not knowing of what the word pilgrim means in this situation, I did not. I'm thinking like, you know, buckles on their shoes, Mayflower pilgrims, right? Because the U.S. But when looking up what pilgrims mean in this context, specifically, pilgrims of Mexico City are people who visit the Basilica of Our Lady Guadalupe in Mexico City, and they pray and pay respects to the Virgin Mary. So these sort of religious pilgrims that are visiting the city during the spring equinox will have this celebration at Teotihuacan. Moving on to Poland. I hope you guys are having fun. I've only ever been on a hot air balloon once, and I feel like it would be really fun just to see a whole bunch of hot air balloons in the sky. And then a giant illusion of a snake coming down a staircase. Count me in. All right, so we're moving on to Poland. This one seems a little interesting, but that's okay. In Poland, they have the spring equinox celebration of the drowning of Marzana. And I kind of really like this one just because I'm Polish / Czech / Slovakian. I got yelled at one time by a Czech international student in college for saying that I was Czechoslovakian because he said that those are two countries now, which I understand, but my ancestors come from when it was one country. But anyways, my mom just likes to tell people that I'm Polish, which makes me a little angry because I'm like, no, technically I'm Czechoslovakian. But anyways, everyone's just pointing fingers at each other when it comes to that. So anyways, the drowning of Marzana. So this pagan tradition in Poland still is carried out today. And it's of the Slavic goddess Marzana, who is the symbol of winter. So on the first day of spring, people burn effigies, which are then drowned in a river to represent the ushering out of winter and the welcoming of spring. So effigies, if you don't know, are dolls made of straw and ribbons traditionally, at least in this specific scenario. So Marzana dolls are wrapped in white cloths or linen and decorated with beads and necklaces and are often given striking features like big eyes, mouths, and exaggerated cheeks. They're carried around by children who dip them into puddles and streams as they pass along the village. And then those dolls, all wet and soggy, those effigies, are given to young adults who light juniper twigs and carry the dolls out of the village. The effigy, representing the goddess Marzana, are then burned and thrown into the river. And this symbolizes the end of winter and the beginning of spring, as well as the banishing of winter and the reawakening of nature, and the disappearance of Marzana into the underworld. Now, if you're interested in any of these things that I'm saying, as always, the sources are down below. However, I was drawn a little bit more personally to the idea and like story and folklore of Marzana. And if you want to learn more about that, that will also be a source listed down below. There's like a little Wikipedia article if you want to go on a deep dive on your own. But we've been talking about, and I said that the inspiration for this podcast was like Persephone, springtime, and Hecate, right? And in the article, it says that Marzana is sometimes not only linked to like past representations of Mars, the Roman god, but also of Hecate and other goddesses that are like Persephone and things. So I don't know. It's just, it's really cool to see, like, anthropologically speaking, how gods and deities all become their own thing throughout time, being passed on from one generation of people and cultures to the next. So anyways, moving on to Bulgaria. In Bulgaria, they have the tradition of Martinitsa. So beginning at the very beginning of March, March 1st, this is the time to honor Baba Marta, which specifically translates into Grandmother March. So Baba Marta is romanticized as a grumpy old woman who is as unpredictable as the weather. People exchange red and white bracelets, dolls, or tassels known as Martinitsas. So red in these little items symbolize life and passion, and the white symbolizes purity. So when someone is walking around during the beginning of March and they see a sign of spring, such as a stork or a blossoming tree, it is said that Baba Marta is happy and that she will let spring through. And when the person that sees these signs of spring, they're supposed to hang their bracelet, their doll, their tassels on a nearby tree, bush, shrub to symbolize health and happiness for the new season to come. Baba Marta was also one of the things that I felt drawn more to sort of look into in addition to Marzana. And if you look up just like quick little googly search of the folklore of Baba Marta, it is believed that she is to be a feisty and ill-tempered old lady who always seems to be mad at her two brothers. And her two brothers are called January and February. And it's only when she smiles that the sun comes out. And I really like that. Everyone talks about Baba Yaga, which I have no idea about. Maybe we'll do a podcast about Baba Yaga in the future, but Baba Marta, I don't know, makes me happy. I like that idea too. So anyways, the last one that I have for you all today is the spring equinox celebrations in China. So in China, they have a couple different things. Their spring equinox is called Chunfen. Again, if I'm saying that wrong, I apologize. But in Chunfen, there's a couple things that they do to celebrate the spring equinox. One of those things is decorating eggs. So children will decorate eggs and attempt to stand them upright on one end. It is believed that the position of the sun will help the eggs to stand on their own. And if you are able to balance your egg upright, then the year ahead is supposed to be full of luck for you. The other things that I really thought were cute was flying kites. Specifically during Chunfen, people will fly kites but write blessings on them in hopes that when the kites fly high into the sky, the gods will see them and grant them their blessings. And the last one that I thought was really cute was rewarding farm cattle. So I guess during Chunfen in the springtime, farmers will make sticky rice balls and give them to all of their cattle as a token of gratitude. And I think that is the most adorable, happy, beautiful thing ever. Just go give rice balls to cows and be like, thank you for your service. So those are the around the world spring equinox traditions and cultural things that I have prepared for you this Sunday. I hope you enjoyed the spring equinox. Let me know in the comments below if you liked any of these things and or if you want to, I don't know, start embracing some of the traditions in your household yourself. I really like the one with flying kites with blessings in the sky. I thought that one was really cute too. And I feel like no one really flies kites anymore or even makes them. And I have this little book that I bought for my husband so that if we ever had children like we do now, he could use. And it's called, it's escaping me now. What's the name? It's like a whole bunch of things that boys can do. And it was written by like one of the original Boy Scouts in like 18 or 1700, something like that. And one of the things that they have in the book with directions on how to do is to make a kite. And maybe that's something we could do for the spring equinox. Anyways, thank you all for tuning in this Sunday. And I wish you all the best as the next week comes. Until then, peace. Thank you.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.